And in just a few weeks, you'll get to hear them again as we have a community concert in the evening in December. More information to come. Open your Bibles, if you will, this morning to Philippians chapter 1 as we continue our study in the book of Philippians. I have a question for you. It's a very simple question, but one I want you to think about. On December 1st, 2019, you sat somewhere, maybe eating, maybe watching football, maybe doing something, but hopefully at some point in time during that day, you kind of looked at the year before you and said, well, I kind of hope that it's like this, and I kind of hope that I have an idea that it's going to be this way. And here's my question for you. Did everything happen so far this year exactly the way you thought it was going to happen? Did anything this year take you by surprise? Now, if your year, and preachers don't say this very often, but I'm going to say this, if your year has happened exactly the way you anticipated, you have gotten no surprises, you have gotten nothing has happened out of the ordinary, nothing is happening that you didn't expect, then you can go to sleep for the next 30 minutes. I saw three men smile. But the fact of the matter is, there are things in our lives that happen that don't make sense to us. And so it was with the Apostle Paul that he kind of had his life. In fact, as a young man, he had his life pretty well laid out. He went to school, went to the best school around, the school of Gamaliel, and he had everything planned out, and he had an idea. He was on the fast track to becoming one of the leaders of the Sanhedrin, as he said in writing to another of the churches, he was one of the head of the heads. He was the best of the best. And yet now he finds himself in prison, chained to a Roman guard, having been beaten, being under house arrest, and things just didn't make sense to him. A few years ago, and maybe you remember this, but for those of us who are older, we will remember, but a few years ago, there was an oil tanker off the coast of Alaska called the Exxon Valdez. And the Exxon Valdez went aground and spilled all kinds of oil out into that area of the ocean around Alaska, negatively impacting a number of animals and different wildlife. And one of the news agencies picked up this story on two particular sea lions that had been negatively impacted by this terrible disaster. And they kind of followed them through the whole process. And to clean up, to restore, to help them with their lungs because they swallowed oil and all of these kinds of things, it cost $80,000 a sea lion to get these animals restored. The big day came. All the news agencies were there. They were going to release these animals back into the wild. And it was a great day of celebration. And so the news people came, all the people were there on the beach, and everybody was excited, and they brought up the tanks where the sea lions were, and they released them out into the ocean with great cheers from everyone. And about 100 yards out, as they were swimming, a killer whale came and devoured both of them, to the horror of all of the people. Life doesn't come the way we expect that it's going to turn out. We can do our best plans, we can have our best ideas on how it's going to be, but the fact of the matter is, that's not always the way it was. A little closer to home. And we prayed for her earlier this morning, and I would ask that you continue to pray for Joanne. But Thursday morning, Joanne woke up and thought, this is the way my day's going to be. I've got to do this, that, and the other. And then I've got to get ready and go to choir practice. And so she went through her day and got ready and went to choir practice and was coming down 52 when somebody crossed the center line and hit her head on. And it's only through the grace of God that she survived. And she's now in the hospital in Lansing and is going to be having surgery on Friday. She has 3 broken bones in her ankle. She had 2 brand new knees that she was worried about, and praise God, the knees were okay, but she's got some cracked ribs and broken ankles. She woke up Thursday morning thinking life was going to be this way, and life wasn't the way that she anticipated it was. We have Glenn here. We have others. I could look through this crowd today and give example after example after example. And so what I want to talk to you of just for a few moments about this morning is, how do we deal with this whole issue of when God doesn't make sense? And so I'd invite you to understand this, that, see, the problem of suffering is this. It's really a conundrum for us as believers. And I think it's a conundrum or a struggle for us as believers, sometimes more than unbelievers, because sometimes unbelievers say, well, it's just random, it's just dumb luck, it just happened. But for those of us who believe that God is in control and that God knows what he's doing, for those of us who believe that, sometimes these things that happen to us and things that we might consider to be bad things or negative things are hard to understand. And so, if I'm a child of God, and you're a child of God, and I want to be faithful to God, and I want to live for God, and yet these things happen, how do I deal with that? How do I wrestle with these things, and how do I wrap my mind around it? Well, that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. See, because in the verses we're going to look at, in the verses we're going to look at this morning, I think the Apostle Paul tries to demonstrate that he's really solved the problem of suffering. And that he's done this really for himself when he comes to see suffering in a different light. In other words, and we know this as a clinical social worker, having spent a lot of time, I work with people to know this, that it is not the events that occur in our lives that are as important as how we view those events. That 2 different people can have the same event occur to them, and one will go this direction and the other will go that direction, and the significant difference is not the event, but how they view the event. And the same is true for us this morning. The same is true for you. It is not the events that occur in your lives. There are going to be some wonderful things in your lives, but I'm here to tell you there's going to be some things that you're not going to like. There's going to be some things happen that you don't understand. There's going to be some circumstances and some situations and things that occur that you just throw your hands up and say, God, where are you and what's going on? What's the answer? Well, let's look at the word this morning. Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. And if you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to open them this morning and follow after me as I read these important words. But now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. When I look at these verses, I think there are basically 4 questions that Paul would have us consider and ask ourselves this morning. What are some questions that we need to ask ourselves when the tough times come? And I'm going to ask you to kind of think about these because maybe you haven't had tough times lately, but I would encourage you, and I don't often do this, but you may want to pull out a pen or paper and write some of these questions down, because this may be the year that it happens to you, that those tough things happen. So what are 4 questions I think that we ask ourselves? Well, question number 1 is this. What am I looking to learn from the situation that I find myself in? What am I looking to learn in that situation? Am I looking to learn anything from the situation? Notice what he says in the first part of verse 12. Now I want you to, what's that next word? What's the next word? For those of you that can read, I want you to what? Know, brothers and sisters. Why do you think he said that? You know why? It's pretty simple. Because this is something that doesn't come natural to us. When he tells us, I want you to know this, he was telling them that because this was something that didn't come natural. It was something, and I'm going to say a terrible, foul, dirty word in church this morning. I got some of your attention. Here's that word. Ready? Discipline. It takes discipline. It takes effort. It takes us making choices on how we're going to be. And what Paul said to him is, brothers and sisters, I want you to know certain things. And the reason that he wants us to know these things is because they don't come naturally. See, the fact of the matter is that the difference in how we relate to a situation will be dependent upon how we view that situation. Paul wanted them to learn from his experience. Do you ever try to learn from the experiences of others? I don't know, as a teenage kid, how many of you, your parents said to you, well, I suppose if everybody else jumped off the bridge, you'd jump off the bridge too. Anybody's parents besides mine ever say that when you were a kid? You know, yeah, if everybody else do it. And you know what the fact of the matter is? Yeah, I probably would have. Because I didn't learn very easily. But every once in a while, particularly with my sister, when I saw my sister do something and get in trouble, I would go, oh, better her than me. And maybe I can learn something from this. I'm not going to do that dumb thing. Now, that doesn't mean I didn't do something else dumb. But what can we learn from each other? And Paul says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, I want you to learn from my experience. And this is what I want you to learn, that what you focus on will have an impact on how you view situations. You see, in difficult circumstances, God wants us to focus on the circumstance, right? Wrong. In difficult circumstances, God wants us to focus on Him. He wants us to look beyond the circumstance, beyond the situation, and focus on Him. Now, let's get back to that word I mentioned earlier, that dirty word, discipline. Because you know what? That is not something that's going to happen naturally. And it is something that often happens through a process. Let me give you an example. I have been, in the midst of everything else, Darlene a few weeks ago decided that it was time to remodel our house. And so we had someone else do most of the remodeling, but the bathroom is small. We've got a small bathroom, and I decided I was going to tackle the bathroom myself. Going to pull the toilet, put in a new floor, do some caulking work, and I had my nail gun. I'm in trouble when I have my nail gun, because I'm pretty feisty. But I got to a little point where I couldn't get the nail gun in underneath the cabinet, so I decided to get the hammer. Now, Paul says, in every circumstance, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But that is something that is a process. It's not an event. Let me tell you what I mean. So I'm underneath, and I'm hitting at this nail that for some reason didn't want to go in. And I was tapping it. And I thought, and it kind of bent. And so I thought, well, what I need to do is I need to hold my finger there and tap it. And I was holding, and the nail still wasn't moving. So what I realized I needed to do is I needed to hold the nail and whack it hard. Let me Have you learned something from my example? It hurts when you hit your thumb. And my thumb is like pounding, and you know, I mean, I hit it enough that, I kind of got dizzy, and my eyes were kind of like, you know, the stars were jumping around in my brain and everything else like that. Can I tell you something? At that very moment when the hammer hit my thumb, I was not thinking, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. I was thinking, ow, that hurts. But you come back. And as I was sitting there holding my thumb, I thought, what a stupid thing you can do. Why did you do this? And then the Holy Spirit said to me, you did this so you can use this as an illustration tomorrow morning. And you can let everybody know. Darlene doesn't need to be the only one that knows that you're dumb sometimes. How do we focus and view situations? When you have those difficult circumstances going in your life, do you ask yourself, God, what are you trying to teach me? What do you want me to learn from this? You see, in difficult circumstances, God wants us to focus on Him. But there's a second question I think that is important for us to ask in difficult circumstances, and it is this question. What's really important in my life? He says this. He says, I want you to know that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. In other words, you may look at this circumstance. In fact, some people did. Some people said, you can't listen to Paul. You can't trust Paul. Look at what happened to him. Look at where he ended up. Kind of like Job's three friends that said to Job, Job, what did you do wrong? That God would do this. You must have done something wrong. And we know from the back story that Job didn't do anything wrong. God was just allowing Satan to test him so that he could be faithful. And his friends were really helpful. Well, what did you do? And his wife was really helpful. Why don't you just curse God and die? And yet he realized that he was going to focus on the really important, because what had actually was happening for the furtherance of the gospel and the advancement of the gospel of God and glory to God. Can I tell you something? And you know my story, and I will tell you that when tough things come into your life, the only thing that will get you through the tough, tough things are when you focus on God and you ask the question, where's God at and what is he doing? In 89, the church that I was pastoring at the time that had to do a church directory. And in our church directory, what they always do is they have this pastor's page. And for the pastor's page, they said to me, okay, Pastor Jerry, you have to come up with something in this page. And we've been looking at that Ephesians passage, in every circumstance, give thanks. And so I wrote this wonderful, devotional on giving thanks in every situation. When that police officer told me that my wife and three kids had died, I had to ask myself the question, were those just words or do you really believe it? Do we really believe that God allows things to come into our lives to advance the gospel? That God allows those things that we do not understand? See, Paul said this, my suffering has furthered the work of God. And that is the only thing that will get you through in situations where you look at and you say, I don't see a purpose here. I don't understand what's going on. God, why would you do this? How could you do this? And more importantly, how could you do this to me? Now I can understand that you could do it to them. But why me, Lord? Another question. anybody in this room besides me ever ask that question, why me, Lord? Yeah, we do it, don't we? Why me, Lord? And Paul could have done this. He could have said, why me, Lord? I was doing fine walking around. I was doing fine preaching to these people. I was doing fine. Fact is, I was doing fine persecuting the Christians. And then you come along on the road to Damascus and strike me down with the light. What's going on? See, but Paul was able to look at his life circumstance and say, what has happened to me has a good purpose to further the gospel. For many, the purpose of life is enjoyment. Eat, drink, and be merry. And if you don't believe that for many of us this week, we're going to take that to a whole new level. You know, we're going to eat and we're going to have fun and we're going to enjoy. And there's nothing intrinsically wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being thankful for the bounty of which God has given us, as long as you remember that it is God that has given it to us. That He has blessed us and He has watched over us and He has cared for us. And when we get our eyes in the wrong place, when we get our eyes on life and enjoyment and fun and betterment for me, and it's all about me, when we get our eyes on all of those kinds of things, then I can tell you, when the tough times come, and they're going to come, you're lost. Because you're going, but wait a second, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. Because after all, here is me, and here is the universe, and the universe revolves around me. Now, that may not be true for you now, but if you have a teenager, you'll find out that's true. That the world revolves around us. And he says to us to remember that our life is not about eat, drink, and be merry. Malcolm Muggleson said these words, Muggleridge said these words, every happening, great and small, is a parable whereby God speaks to us. And the art of life is to get the message. Every circumstance. He went on to also talk about Mother Teresa and said that she was the best example of a life well lived because she focused on others. But there's a third question. Not only am I looking to learn from the situation, not only what is really important in my life, but the third question is this: what do people see when they look at my life? What do people see when they look at me? I'm sure you've heard the story of the parole officer that pulled over the car, and he pulls over the car and he asks the lady to get out of the car. Someone told me this at Connect Group the other night, and he told the lady to get out of the car, and the lady got out of the car, and he asked her to put her hands on the car, and she was bewildered. And she said, what's going on? He says, well, I'm sure this car is stolen. And he goes, no, it's my car. And he said, are you sure? She said, yeah, it's my car. Why would you think my car was stolen? Stolen. She said, well, I saw the bumper sticker, honk if you love Jesus, and Jesus loves me, and I saw the fish thing in there, and then I saw you cuss at the guy that cut you off and wave at him in the wave that we don't do in church. And he said, so I just figured the car must be stolen. It's not what you say, it's what you do. And people are looking at you, and people are looking at your life. And if you say that I am a Christian, then people are especially looking at you. You see, Paul's concern was how his life impacted others. Notice what he says. He says, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. Many live unfulfilled lives because we focus on the wrong thing. Paul said, these things have happened because there are people that are looking at me, and there are people that are looking at me. By the way, the palace guard, these were the roughest of the rough. These were the tough guys. You would have never found them in church. You would have never found them at synagogue. You would have never found them at Bible study. These were the roughest of the rough. And yet God used this circumstance in the life of Paul to minister to those people. In fact, they couldn't get away from him. They were chained to him. You know, he starts, you ever get somebody talk to you sometimes and not about Christ, but you get people talking to you sometimes in the grocery store or something like that, and you ask them, so how are you doing? And they decided to tell you. And then they decide to show you the scar from the gallbladder surgery. And 20 minutes later, and you're going, trying to inch away, get away, get away. Can you imagine being with the Apostle Paul, who was always talking about Christ, and here's this big, tough guard, and he's trying to get away, get away, get away. Paul takes the chain and goes, rips him back there. And his shift changes, and the next guy comes in, and Paul goes, oh, good, I got somebody else. And because of that, because he looked at his life and saw how it impacted others, these rough, tough guards got the message that I am in chains for a purpose. Now, I can bet that there weren't many people that they'd been chained to that were as happy about that situation as Paul was. But Paul, because of his change of attitude, impacted others. But not only those, he also, it says, the impact of the Apollos guard and everyone else. He impacted everyone else as well. See, others were impacted when they see how you'll deal with your with different situations. When people see how you deal with situations, they will be impacted either positively or negatively. Because let me tell you this, in just a few moments, we're going to go walking out those doors, and those people that know that we are Christians are looking at us. And you're not going to get it right every time. So this is not about getting it right every time. But this is about thinking about what is right every time. That's what we believe sanctification is. The sanctification is having that mindset in which we think about how we impact ours and act towards others. Because there's a fourth question that he says in verse 14. And that is, what impact does my life have on others? Two days ago, I stood here and I had the physical remains of one of the most godly men that I've known. Not the only godly man I know, not perfect, but godly man, Leo Cook. And as I saw on Thursday night, as I saw the people come in and out, and I saw the people sitting here, I was reminded of the fact of what a life well lived can impact those around them. And because of my change, notice what he says, and I love this. Sometimes we miss this. Not in spite of my change, but because of my change, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord. Now, you know why he uses that word most? Because he reminds us everybody has a choice. So not everybody's going to do it. And you have a choice. You have a choice on how you're going to respond. You have a choice on how your life is going to be impact others. But he says, but I have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Without fear. And he goes on and wants to encourage them as well. See, Paul saw the positive outcome of his situation on others. He also, because of his life and how he handled himself, others were benefited. So what do we mean this morning? What am I trying to say to you? Simply this. Good things are going to come to your life, and difficult things are going to come to your life. As I look out around you, most of you I know, all of you I love. And if I could, I would stand here and say, you know, I hope for 2020, everything is wonderful. I hope that none of us receive that news, you have cancer. I hope none of us receive that phone call, there's been an accident. I hope none of you go into work and hear those words, we're downsizing. That would be my heart, because I love you. But I know that's not going to happen. And so because I love you, I want to do the one thing that I can do to prepare you for those times, and that is this: to challenge you on how you look at the things that are going to come in your life. There are going to be chains. There are going to be heartaches. Do I choose to see God in it, or do I choose to focus on myself? For there are going to be things that come into your life that you do not understand. How you respond to these situations will impact the quality of your life and will either bring glory to or detract from the glory of God. What are we going to do? The choice is yours. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. And there may be some today, Lord, that I don't know, that are struggling with things that only you know. I pray this morning, Lord, that these words that Paul shared with us of being in chains and yet being free will be a message that resonates with someone's heart this morning. That they may have walked into this room feeling like they were in chains, may they walk out with freedom in Christ. And Lord, may we thank you for all that you do for us. In every circumstance, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. May we take those things to heart. And as we sing this closing song, Lord, if there are those that need to have an adjustment, that just need to come and get alone with you at the altar, Lord, would you just lay it on their hearts? May they be open to your leading. We pray and ask in Jesus' name, amen.